Started at the Turaway, Northwest London, Friday, Rosh Chodesh Av, 1st of Av, 29th of July, Rabbi Yehuda Baruch Liebman Shlita. Avelis and Nachoma. This week's Torah have been sponsored by families Wiesenfeld and Wittenberg to celebrate the mitzvah of Dudi Wittenberg and the Chus Shraga Feibish Ben Elisheva Hinder Sheyizket Lerefuah Shleimot Besorg Shoruch Le Yisrael and by the family Leila Nishmas Imam Rossi Maras Martel Bas Reb Meir Rafael Le Hasholem Mrs. Magda Joseph, whose first Yahrzeit was on Tuesday.
Starting the Chedesh of Av, the second phase of the Avelus. And there's something interesting, and we'll move on then next Shabbos of Shabbos Chazoyim, and then Tisha B'Av itself. The interesting thing is that straight after that comes Parshas Nechem. We now know that the Shabbos of Parshas Matzmas. Then comes Dvarim Chazoyim, and then we'll be Vayeschanan Parshas Nechem. It's a bit difficult to take the Avelus seriously when you know that the Nechem is coming. In a normal situation where you, Rachman and some person suffers Avelus, the Avelus itself is evil. The person's overwhelmed with the grief, it's a shock, and they have to slowly come to terms with it, and that develops the Nechama. But when you know the Nechama's coming, isn't that a little bit difficult? It's a bit like reading the end of a book. And like us, you know, you lose the suspense, you lose the sense of, like, is this a game, is this a charade, is this... What does it mean to go through our Avelus and then get to Nechama? From the Chaverim and Avram Zorn, it was Mo'era. Interesting that the Avelus is 3 weeks. Nechama is 7. Is that interesting? We sort of overlook the Nechama. We hear the 3 weeks because that's practical halachas, we take it seriously. When it gets to the Shiva the Nechemta, or the Adonish, it's like not it's just Haftaris. Nechira the Emes is that the Shiva the Nechemta is at least as much part of the Avodah as the Shlosh the Paranusa, as these 3 weeks. They're part of one process. We develop Avelus and Nechama. When a person understands that the Shiva and the Nechemta are part of the Avelus, then it's not a steerer to the Avelus. And a kasha that how can I take the Avelus seriously if I'm getting to the Nechama, they're part of one process. It shouldn't really shock us that the Shiva and the Nechemta are seed of Avelus, because we know that they lead us right up to Rosh Hashanah and the Yom Ha'Neirim. So there's just a part of the Avodah V'Yid, part of the bridge between the Matantara of Shavuos, the Yom Ha'Neirim, that bring us back to the Luchos Shnis. In fact, Reb Shimshon Pinkus Zatzal would point out something even more striking. If there's Sholosh to Paranusa and Shiva to Nechemta, 3 plus 7 equals 10. And he tells us, he was a Mavin Abaki in the Zachem, that in numbers, 3 and 7, leading to 10, is always part of a process where the 3 creates the 7. Where the 3 is the Shroshim, that then express themselves in the 7, I've spoken about it before, but how it fits into every 10, we need that from Shimshim. 10 Dibros, the 10 Mamoris, Shabbahem Nivra Oilam, the Asara Makus, bridge between the Asara Mamoris and the Asara Sadibrus. Whenever you find an Esser, the Sholosh or the Shroshim, and the 7. In Guf Ha'odom, we're told that the Guf Ha'odom is Shaykh to the 7 Anhogus of a Guf Ha'odom. 7 Anhogus of a Guf Ha'odom, the Briol, Chashim, Agdulah, Agurah, 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 7 Anhogus of the Ruin Shalom, they're Shaykh to the Guf Ha'odom. And the different Anhogus correspond to different middles, and different middles are expressed in different parts of the human body. 7. 7 midos. But in the Mayach, there's also 3. There's Chochmah, Bino, Das. It's a very nice moshul there. The 3 is Beseichel, the Sheva is Beguf. three are the shroshim, they're the roots, they're the person's understanding, and based on that, person can express it into the seven. So Rav Shimshon, so if we give him 3 weeks of Avelus, followed by 7 weeks of Nechama, the 3 weeks of Avelus are the shroshim, and those 3 weeks of Avelus are there to develop the 7 weeks of Nechama. There's an avoid of Nechama, and let's try and think about what the avoid of Nechama is, and how it could relate to the Shiva the Nechemta. What is this goal of Nechama? What are we trying to achieve? There's another Gemara. Interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, why were Klal Yisrael punished with Alephis? Eicha, first full prokim of Eicha, Alephis say the Alephis. One, three times, two, one, three, one. There's the last period is also Chaf Beis Oisius connected to Aleph Beis, although it doesn't follow the alphabetical order. But the seven Aleph Beis. Why is it on an Aleph Beis? Why is the Seder? Lama Loku Ba Aleph Beis. And the Torah says, because Klal Yisrael violated the Torah, and the Torah is written with the Aleph Beis. And Memela Loku Ba Aleph Beis. It's a very strange thing. They were over on the Torah, the Torah happens to be written with Aleph Beis. Say this. So write Eicha in Lashon HaKodesh, which is the same language, also with the Aleph Beis. Why does it have to start with the Seder? Every Pasuk starts with the Seder of the Aleph Beis. Sounds like somehow the order of the Aleph Beis, the Oisis, HaKodeshus, Lashon HaKodesh, somehow that's Noigea to the Chet of Klal Yisrael. They were Chet with the Aleph Beis of Torah. And Loku Ba Aleph Beis, there's something in having an Eicha that's written if you say the Aleph Beis. Mustam does say this in there, but if you're okay, what can we take out? What does that tell us? So maybe before we start, just a Ha'ora. Weaponry has changed a lot as civilization has developed. In the olden days, when humans fought, they fought with swords and shields. So the guy came to attack a person with a sword, so he'd protect himself with a shield, good protection, weak shield, weak protection. But we're told they would actually coat the shields with fat, so that they were slippery, and if a spear wasn't sharp enough, it would glide off it. But that was when people came with a sword, you could use a shield. But once they come with cannons, once it's tanks, a shield's not going to help you. Right? It doesn't help for a pistol, not mind the machine gun. So now you have tanks, you need anti-tank missiles. And when missiles developed, and a country can send missiles to another country, and it gets to the extent that you've got Scud missiles, and they go out of the atmosphere and come back down, you need something far more sophisticated. But they have defense systems. They have systems that can pick up the missile as it's launched, and it's fast enough to send its own missile to track the missile that's coming to attack, and it hits it mid-air and blows it up where it can't do any harm, and you defend it. They call it the Iron Dome. It's the same as a shield. It's just that, unlike the shield that you hold right in front of you, and this is like something even further, because as soon as you sense the beginning of that, you... The Mesillas Yesharim talks about the fact that people defend themselves against Musa, against Trichocha, against ideas that they don't want to hear. We defend ourselves by putting up a shield of Leitzonos. Leitzonos isn't always jokes. Leitzonos often has nothing to do with laughter. Leitzonos is something light, something that makes the topic less connected to me. Instead of being some lame, instead of taking it seriously, I don't know if you've been in a situation where something serious has come up and either ourselves or someone else starts. It's not joke necessarily. It's something a little lighter, a little off topic, a little bit that deflects the seriousness of the situation. That's the sugi of that's the old fashioned litzonis. Today we have an Iron Dome. So when we sense the beginning of a topic that makes us a little bit of we're gonna start shooting out our arrows and we protect ourselves. There's an avoda in being open to ideas that we're not comfortable with. And there are things that make us uncomfortable. Sometimes it's It's something emotional that we can't really cope with, and therefore we block it out. Whenever there's serious pain, there's a defense mechanism that kicks in and people block it out. Avelus can be extremely painful. Avelus is always painful. Chmon son, a person who loses a relative, certainly one of the Shiva crave him, it's an unbearable pain. It's very, very difficult. Anybody who loses a relative, anybody who loses a parent, Rahman al-Islam, it's not something that is easy to get hold over, and probably a person never gets over it. You get around it, learn to deal with it, but it's always a little bit of a gap, a little bit of a hole that's left. Even if a parent was estranged, it's interesting. Even if somebody whose parent wasn't well, maybe has suffered dementia for years, will still go through a serious experience of avelus. And if they're open, they'll sense a gap in their lives. Even if the parent didn't live in the same city, a parent was old. Kachazin, it's real. Sometimes not just avelus, it's just something that's very difficult. It's very, a person who has to move to another country and has difficulty adjusting. That can be an overwhelming difficulty. Pain, physical pain, illness, difficulty with these things. When we stop, if we stop and try and contemplate the anguish, the pain, the horror, where became any individual who went through Rahman al-Islam, the Holocaust, it's unthinkable. Because we're not talking about an avelus. We're talking about losing parents, siblings, children, and not in normal circumstances, but in tragic, shocking circumstances. Children who saw their parents killed in front of their eyes, or Rahman al-Islam, vice versa. Not once, not twice. And at the same time, having been put through unbearable suffering, hunger, illness, golos, and then having to restart life in a new country with no paranoia, with no language skills, with no ability to earn up the hardship. Anyway, you start thinking, it's overwhelming, the mind switches off. It's too scary, it's too much. And certainly if we start thinking about the horror of a family, Rahman al-Islam, many of which won't have survived, but it's just... And as much as we block out the horror, there's also a question that we sometimes block out. And maybe 3 weeks, certainly Tisha B'Av, is a time when we have to stop, think about that question, and ask whether we really are ready to deal with that question, to think about that question of what is the Ribbono Shel Olam doing? The Ribbono Shel Olam is an Ava for Klal Yisrael. We know, we're Maimon, that there's a very deep Ava the Ribbono Shel Olam for Klal Yisrael. So what is he doing? What is this? How can there be so much suffering? It's a question that doesn't have to be logical. It may not be rational. And it doesn't help to have solved it philosophically. If a person knows philosophically and understands the concept of tzaddik v'ra'alo and knows that a person is here in this world for a short time and it's really not shver. Because I don't know who the tzaddik is, and I don't know what tev is, and I don't know what ra is. There's no... Philosophically, I might not get tzaddik v'ra'alo. I might not get the kasha. But to see somebody suffering, to see a child or a baby suffering, and what is it? And there's no shaila, but there's in sof, it's a sugya, a rucha, a muka, which many parts of it will be beyond us. I start learning Sefer Iyov, Be'iyun, with the Mefarshim, with the Ramban, with... Maybe we'll get to some maggot. But there's one nekuda that I think, if we're able to put down our defences a little bit, we can become open to. And it's so basic, probably worth thinking about, and it's something that's challenging us as a generation. It's something that was once quite obvious and simple, and today isn't simple anymore. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, which Chazal used to explain the yachas of the Reuven Shem to Klal Yisrael, and why there's such a severe oynish sometimes against Klal Yisrael, particularly more than any other nation. What we've been through, no nation has been through. The suffering, the tribulations, the amount of golus and geula, the extent of the persecution, the depth of the suffering, the teichochus of Pashtu Chukosa, the teichochus of Pashtu Tisovot. And not just once, not twice, but generation after, just so much tzar, so much tzorah. And the Pasuk says, as Soine Shiftei, Chesech Shiftei Soine Benoi, a father withholds the rod, who doesn't hit his children, is Soine Benoi. Either is Soine Benoi, or will be Soine Benoi. V'oyavu Shichari Musan Chazal says, this goes on the Reuven Shem as well, the Reuven Shem of Klal Yisrael. And there's a musig that Isa Sheyav Hashem Yechiach, what Zigmar says in Makis Davches, Ayin Shom, Yasir bincha v'yanichecha. Yasir, yisurim, suffering. And why is that? V'yanichecha v'yitimadanim l'nafshecha. The real way to get to nachas is punish your children. Why does it have to be so harsh? Why does chinuch have to have a harsh side to it? Why does it have to be so tough? What's this about hitting children? U'b'shevet yakenu. Why? Can't we have a softer, kinder, more benevolent chinuch? Why, when David HaMelech is criticized for not being mechanech Avshalom, is it possible v'lo yatzovei oviv me'olam? His father never made him upset. Why do you have to make a kid upset? Why is that necessary? Why is that fundamental to chinuch? But the truth is, if we think of what a child is, and the challenge that faces a child, and possibly the most basic lesson that we as parents have to teach a child, then we touch on something very, very basic, very elementary, very, very almost primitive in order. What's the difference between a child and an adult? What's the difference between a child and an adult?
Laws.
Shalachayush. What's the difference? I don't mind. What's the difference between a child and an adult? What's the soda? What is it that makes a child so? What do we call childish? What behavior do we call childish? So one element is that a child lives wrapped up in himself, only is aware of his or herself, doesn't really experience the pain of another, the simcha of another person, for sure. Child's wrapped up in that. They can know it a bit, but to live it, very hard. Child's wrapped in themselves. When you see a young child and he's so absorbed in such a silly little consideration about whether his ice pop did melt too quickly or didn't melt too quickly, and his parents are in the middle of are involved in something like really serious, and you try and tell him, even a 10-year-old, try and tell him, look, it's not for now. You sense he doesn't really get it because his ice pop. Yeah, but my ice pop is melting. We're talking about a medical emergency and you're talking about an ice pop. He can't really put aside his own tongue. A child only sees the hoiva. A child doesn't see the osad. Right? A child lives in the now. The consideration of long term, child doesn't get it. The now is real. The then is what happens next year, next month, next week, tonight. Even tomorrow is hard for a child. A child who knows that there's boiket tonight still coming is already Yansfa is aware of that level of consequences. Generally, a child isn't aware of consequences. He does now, he lives with now. This is to be aware of the effect of what he's doing. That if I do this, that will happen long term. That it's not just awareness. It's a sense that it's real, that it's machayev. Very difficult. Very, very difficult for a child. Very unnatural for a child. And maybe even deeper. A human being seems to be born with the sense that his rotzen, his desires, tivus, the tivus of his guf, are mechayev. and they have to be fulfilled. I mean, there is a chinuch in that. During the first kufa, first few months, year, maybe 2 years of his life, a child just squeals, squeaks, or if that's ignored, cries, and if that's not paid attention to, then screams. And when he or she screams, somebody comes in. If you squeal, they come. You don't. If not, all it takes is you cry, and all crying expresses is, I have a rotzen. And if I have a rotzen, then let the bria come and be kerei on mishtachadeh and come and serve my rotzen. And they do. Right? It works. So there's no need to go to, why should that? When's the child going to learn that because I want isn't the chayiv? Unless there are parents there to teach them that your rotzen is not necessarily the chayiv. Unless there are parents there who say that if you follow the instinct that relates to the present, the taiva that drives you at this moment, unless you sometimes control that, there will be consequences. How's a child going to know that? How's a child going to learn that there's a reality called yesh din v'yesh dayin? There's a reality of consequences. That if you do A, B will happen. That's the reality of this bria. It's very, very harsh, but it's vaday. There's no escaping the reality that the bria olam has created, that yesh din v'yesh dayin. And it's an integral part of the physical reality. It's not just noigea to olam hazeh and olam habo. The reality that says that if we live in the hoiva of olam hazeh, and we only relate to the feelings, requirements, the drives of the here and now, the physical drives of taiva, or the more subtle midos of kavod, the desire to succeed, to be respected, to be recognized. If that's what's driving us and that's the sense of success that we're living with, what's going to impress our friends, our relatives, or make us feel like we're valuable for chitzenius digger reasons? Bein begashmis, bein beruchnis. If we're driven by that, we live in the now, then there will be a time when we're hit by the consequences, when suddenly we reach the end of that opportunity, and Rachman and son, a person's on his deathbed, and suddenly sees Olam Haba looming ahead, and realizes, oh, have I wasted my life? And then it's too late. It's too late. That's the whole metzias of this Olam. That's the whole challenge of Chaim in Olam Hazeh. To see long term. To sense that, one second, Machri Vosei Bo'olam. There's an Ayin Re'eh, there's an Oizen Shemaz, and Kol Masecho B'Sefer Nichtovim. But the truth is, in Olam Hazeh, a person who makes short term and follows the immediate drives and considerations will ultimately fail because his eating habits, right, or the way she diets will automatically be based on the hoiva, and that doesn't pay long term because as a person gets older, all of a sudden things kick in and may not affect you till 60. The rare occasion, maybe the implications won't be felt till 70. But Baruch Hashem, we're in a generation where 70 to 90 is very common. And those 20 years will be very seriously impacted by the lack of exercise, by the lack of healthy dieting from 20 to 60. And when you're 65 and the guy comes to the doctor, it's too late. It's too late. A person who doesn't invest in Avodas Hamidus now, today, when they're still young, in their 20s, hopefully, in their 30s, maybe, or at least in their 40s or 50s, may survive and may sense that their relationships are okay, but we're guaranteed that if they're zoichet to harichas yomim, they will face the implications of lack of investment in those relationships. Because relationships will unravel in time. And if we can get away with our young children without investing, when they get older, it doesn't pay. And all of a sudden, they're teenagers, and oh, what created these? I don't want to call them monsters, but that's it. You can't end kaze davar. That's the metzias ha'olam. There are consequences. And we cannot live in the comfort zone of the hoiva. We cannot live with the idea that our rotzon is mechayev without realizing that, oh, we can, but we will face it one day. And a compassionate parent knows that the first thing that child has to hear is the two-word letter that begins the world in which chinuch can start. No! Do you have to shout? Do you have to hit? I don't know. I'm certainly not suggesting that people start taking up hitting kids or yelling at kids, because all around us are casualties of that mahalach hachinuch. So if it's done wrong, and it seems that it's bechazoka that it does go wrong, then it's a lot of it. Doesn't work. So I'm not suggesting that. But the child does have to have limits and does have to know that I want doesn't get. And that you have to say please and thank you. Because please means just because you want doesn't mean it has to happen. You have a rotzen. So if you want somebody else to mesiachas to your rotzen, say please. Oh, come on, it's just old-fashioned goyish manners. No, it's not. It's the basic that tells the child there's a no. And we can't be too soft and protect them from the reality of consequences. Because if we do that, we're not teaching them the yesoid that yesh din v'yesh dayin. And we're not protecting them from the inevitable consequences that will catch up with them and will punish them. And you can protect them at home, maybe you can protect them in primary school, and we may even be able to cushion them during high school. But can we really cushion them in yeshiva or in sem? From the reality that if you haven't worked on yourself and learned to say no and consider other people, then those relationships will unravel and they'll be suffering. And if you do protect them so far, what are you going to do when they get married? If we haven't said no, if we haven't taught them limits, if we haven't been able to be atzavoy aviv me'olam, that sometimes it hurts, and we are strong enough to let it hurt, then they're still living with their own rotten. They still believe that my rotten is mechayev, and you might be able to survive in yeshiva and seminary, but when you get married and there's two returnees in the same home, that will inevitably unravel, as it, Rachman Litzlan, so often does today. And then starts the process of trying to reconcile. It's hard, it's difficult, it's a long and difficult route. Our avoda is to say no. And the Rebbein Shlom turns to Klal Yisrael sometimes, and we're the parent, but we're soft on ourselves, and we've absorbed a culture that tells us that life is meant to be comfortable, it's meant to be easy, and it's not. Life can be tough, and the greatest growth comes when it's tough. And when we're faced with difficulty, the avodah is not to bang your head against the wall and keep going. The avodah at that point is to stop and to say, maybe I've got it wrong. We have to rethink. And that's always the problem when we rethink is, we do tshuva, but really, our tshuva is always built on premises, on assumptions about ma'achi v'asai bo'ilamoi. And if we were to stop and go inside and find what our assumptions are about what it means to be an erlich yid, what is honesty in business? What constitutes, what is the level of acceptable yashrus? We all think that we are tzaddikim gemurim. Remishkikop, we all think we are tzaddikim gemurim. Because we know what's right, and our level of whatever it is, tefillah, or Torah, or yashrus, or chinuch, is just right. Okay, we're not perfect, but somebody that has shmoneh esrei longer than me, he's too frum, a little bit shorter. Where's the Yerushima? And if we're yekers come on time, how could people come late? And if people are a bit looser and a bit more geschmack in davening, oh, are you coming on time for? You think that's the ikka? It's often subconscious, but those fundamental assumptions are our shita sachai. And they're made of sentences, and those sentences are made up of words. But unless we can go back and break that down into the aleph base and challenge the very elementary roots of our halachos, our tshuva is going to be within the framework and paradigm that we've lived in. and that's very cute, but we're still in the same box. So it's going to be very good tshuva. You know, lefi ma'a. But tshuva has to start earlier than that. And this sounds very harsh. And the Rebbe Shem sometimes brings terrible tzoris to wake a yid up. But when we approach it now, during this time, and we experience the avelus, and we feel it, and we sense that the Rebbe Shem is breaking us down, the point is, because the Rebbe Shem has trust, that we can rewrite our halachas with the aleph beis. That if we're willing to feel that pain and get back, we can reorder and restructure our aleph beis and get it right this time. And get the aleph before the beis and the ayin before the pei. And we can restructure aleph beis. Sharemes, shapshech. But if we can do that, there's real nechama. Because there's a realization that after that, that breakdown is a seisa al menas livnois. And the Rebbe Shem wants us to be able to rethink during the shiva de nechemta, where nechama means, as Rashi says, to approach something from a new perspective, to see things from new. Those seven becomes the expression of those three. And when we do that, then the eicha, that horrific cry of how could this happen, leads us to a new, fresh perspective on Ayeko. Where are you? Where are you? Where's the real me? Are we able to get back to Aleph Beis and rewrite Machi Vase Boilama? Because if we are, it's a very different Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's a very different Aseres Yom Tshuva. If we've got a clear Osid, we can look back and then sack in the Ova. If we do need the Tishuv of this year, where we zecher to use it in a way that brings to the Geula Shleima, b'mehira v'yameinu.
Amen. Amen.
Rabbosai, I got the permission by the Rav, who was here, to say you a few words. Please listen to me 2 minutes. I'm from Nebrak. I'm 70 years old, behind Ara, and I have 6 kids still at home, 2 small grandchildren I'm raising. One of my sons has been wounded in the last war, and after 10 years, he's still in serious condition in the Shikum of Tel HaShomer. The army doesn't pay for all the expenses. I have another son who has been abused by a pedophile when he was 10 and 12 years old. This pedophile did 9 years in prison, but my son today is in a psychiatric hospital. He's 42 years old. And I'm paying his ex-wife child care every month. I have also a survey of cancer, 10 years of cancer, and the doctor find out just now, a few months ago, that I have a secondary disease in my brain, which is called dementia. And to be in front of you, I'm taking every 6 hours morphine and pain. I have also 4 heart attack, fell down in the middle of the street of Nebrak. They came to do PCR and brought me back to life. Thank you very much to your help. To be in front of you, I told you I take every 6 hours morphine again. Thank you for your help. A good Rodesh Le Cholera, Tiskule Mitzvot. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we can rely on this. 3 bars all the time.
Right.
I used to have this go code. You changed it. Yeah. I was trying to, but it doesn't make the slightest difference. I used to have my phone when the system worked.
Right.
I can't do that now because I haven't set up my phone with a new system.
Right.
So I need at some point to copy the details in order to set it up. So I have it.
This comment itself was a food of providing one piece.
I mean, at the time, I did it with
what's called
the VA link itself.
Yeah.
Because there's no shtat.